Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
When your coffee is freshly roasted and ethically sourced, it's music to your ears. Shake up the way you wake up at kingscoastcoffee.com.
Welcome to episode 132 of Star Wars and Scotch. As always, I'm joined by my buddy Tim. Hi, Tim.
Hello, Kevin.
Got to hang out with Tim last Friday and do some GCX pre-show filming in Orlando at Full Sail. Even though this is unofficial, I have to say the whole name. Full Sail University Orlando Health Fortress. I think I got that right. We filmed over there for the GCX pre-show, so you'll see that. But you'll also see a lot of the outtakes, including the wildly popular picture of Lupo on Tim's back doing an entire filming segment. But before we go any further, I would like to introduce our returning guests. Our buddy Darth Chaco is back to just chat Star Wars, hang out, and have a good time. As always, Chaco, what is the best place for people to find you? We'll say it again at the end if you miss it now, but where can people find you?
Yeah, I'm Darth Chaco. Darth Chaco on TikTok, Darth Chaco on YouTube. Those are going to be the best places. There's been one change since last time. My Instagram is now Darth Chaco IG because they deleted my old one. So that's fun. You can also see me get saucy on Twitter at DarthChaco7 if you want to.
Yeah, that's where I follow you the most is TikTok and Twitter. So I like the sauciness. I feel like all of our Star Wars friends we've made along this journey, it's like you have opinions, Sawyer has opinions, Pete from Around the Galaxy has opinions. I love people with opinions because Tim and I have opinions. But then we get like Alex and Molly, and Alex is like, I have opinions, but I'm going to be really democratic about them. No offense, Alex. I love you.
Alex. Was hanging out with him recently. And yeah, very, very straight shooter. Very, like I said, Twitter is where I can kind of cut loose. But I get it when you're kind of like a lore person. You're like, I don't want to add anything extra. It makes sense.
Our buddy, his name is my name is Bife. He started in like Halo lore. Now he does Destiny lore. Tim, he's probably the most popular person that does Destiny lore, right?
Guy. Yeah.
Yeah. So same way. He's very non-opinionated when it comes to content and why not. So I think it might be more of a lore thing, like you said. But before we
I'm
get rolling,
about to dive in to start doing Destiny content and lore because Season of the Deep is dropping as we record this. But I've found some love in that game.
I didn't know you were. That's where I got my start.
I just started.
Oh man, you have a journey ahead of you. Yeah, that's where I got my start. I haven't touched it in many years, but that's where I got my start. So it has a special place in my heart. I was just watching our other business partner Ben was doing Season of the Deep to start. I went in his chat, Tim, and I was like, so did the Deep and the Seven show up yet, or what's going on here? Is he like a raid boss?
What would he do to you? Never mind.
If you haven't played it, I don't want to give anything away, but there was a moment where I could bring it up again. I'll just leave it at that. Before we go any further, kingscoastcoffee.com barrel age drops Friday. There might also be a sale for Memorial Day, so look out for that. Kingscoastcoffee.com. Make sure you're subscribed to the Kings Club. We're not drinking coffee because we're recording this at night this time. We are actually drinking drinkies. Kingscoastcoffee.com. Again, barrel age drops on Friday. When you come back to me and you're like, Kevin, no, I didn't know about the bet. Too bad. I told you. Barrel Age drops on Friday. So grab it before
but
it all goes bye-bye.
Hey, Kevin.
Yes, Fortnite kid.
But I just, what happened?
But you know, you're too young to drink coffee anyway, Fortnite kid. That's the last thing you need. Speaking of Fortnite, kid, my 8-year-old started playing Fortnite yesterday, and he's obsessed. But now it's great because I have someone to farm my battle pass, and I don't have to do it all. So it's really working out well.
That's genius.
So clever.
That's this with my brother in World of Warcraft back in the day. I gave him my account, and he used to level up all my characters and stuff so I could raid.
Wow.
Yeah, you'll be able to do it, Kyler, someday too, Tim.
Yeah, but I mean, like, that's still years away. I still have to do it myself right now.
You got to, you only got like 5 more years. Yeah. You got it. You got it. Don't worry.
So clever, Kevin. God, look at you.
So am I going to have kids now?
Is that child labor?
They're having a blast. Oh, okay. Hey, if you love what you do, you don't work a day in your life, right?
he's picked. So my brother-in-law's in town, and he has a newborn who, God, adorable. I got to meet her on Sunday. But they're going to my in-laws' house tonight while I'm recording, and my son is mad because he can't stay home and play Fortnite. He has to go to his grandmother's house to see his brand new cousin. So it's already in. Uh-oh. It has its hooks in him. Tim, hooks, so. Yeah, it's a thing.
He's asleep.
So he was asking me questions. He's like, "Are there bazookas? I'm like, "Calm down. They change it all the time." And if I show him the Miles Morales announcement, he's going to lose his shit. Which reminds me, I need to go home and buy that bundle. But GCX event, welcome to Fortnite and Scotch. I want the Miles skin and the Spider-Man 2099 skin. Come on. It's awesome. GCXevent.com. Nothing to do with Spider-Man, but Tim and I will be there. Star Wars and Scotch will be live. You can meet Tim, you can meet Lupo, you can meet Pool Shark, you can meet Astacross, you can meet a whole bunch of content creators. You can hang on the floor, buy some cool stuff, see your friends, go to the after party at Universal, go to the comedy show after night one. There's so much to do at GCX this year, so you should head over to gcxevent.com and grab your tickets. Premium passes, are sold out.
Nice.
Sold out. So that means there's only 2-day passes and single day passes. So get your passes before something else sells out. You never know. GCXevent.com, GCXevent.com/tickets if you just want to go buy them quickly. Anyway, let's jump into it. Chaco, talk to us about what's been going on with you. We're catching up with you. I know you and I have DM'd a little bit recently, but what's new? What's like Star Wars? So many things have come out. We've seen Mandalorian wrap the season. We've seen Jedi Survivor come out. Obviously, Celebration led to a lot of things. Trailers. What's going on? What's up, man? It's just want to catch up with you.
Man, there's so much because it's been a minute, and since then, you know, because we've also had Andor come out and Tales of the Jedi, and you know, Jedi Survivor. I was talking a little bit how I actually had the pleasure of going to the launch event, so I got to meet Cameron Monaghan and play the game early and like hang out with some of the devs and some other content creators. Hang out with, you know, Alex and Molly were there, and also got to, you know, kind of go through the game a little bit early. I will say the Amazon PC and pre-release patches were a little rough. I ended up having to upgrade my computer in order to run it. Runs much, much better now. But I was really pushing it at the beginning. There tons of stuff going on, tons of news popping off, and I'm excited because I probably shouldn't say this, but it's not my news. I don't know. Anyways, someone else that happened to be at the event also got to go to the same event in the UK. And over there, they previewed them the open world game. So they got to watch a little trailer for it. So hasn't been announced yet. And they got to see this, what, a month ago now? So the person was telling me a little bit about it. But yeah, that's the open world game by the people who make the Division. The thing that we're speculating, and yeah. I'm pretty sure that's what he was pretty tight-lipped on what he actually got to see, but let me know that he did get to see it.
Can you say this much? Was it a positive or negative reaction?
Oh, they were real excited.
Okay.
Like, it was in a playable state?
No. They just saw like a preview. I'm sure it was only a video. I had arrangements to touch base with them later to try and go into more detail, but then they decided not to. So if they had, I probably wouldn't be saying it here. So I can say this because I don't have enough knowledge. But I do think we are getting that announcement real, real soon. Yeah. Probably at the PlayStation Showcase.
The PlayStation, I was going to ask D23 or the PlayStation Showcase was my question to you.
I'm thinking PlayStation Showcase, and I'm really excited about that. I just got a PS5, and yeah, I'm really happy.
If it doesn't happen at the PlayStation Showcase, we do have the Summer Game Fest. So there's like 40 games that are going to be showed off during Summer Game Fest.
Also, Ubisoft just did the Division Heartlands presser, and it was just out of the blue. So there's always that option on the table now, especially Bethesda just did the same thing. So now that E3 is dead, most game studios are just like, we can spin up our own announcement. So as great as it is to have touch points throughout the year, most of the studios and publishers now just spin up their own, you know, announcement cycle. Now, I will say some of them are terrible. Like when you have like five devs sitting in their homes talking about, I'm like, this doesn't have the same brevity of like Bethesda does it great. They do the ESO show. I think they did it in Vegas. Correct me. Yeah. I might be wrong. This year, but they always do it live, and it's like a whole spectacle. So I would hope for a new Star Wars game that it would be bigger, but we'll see. We'll find out.
I feel like COVID allowed a lot of companies to be like lazy, and they're like, listen, we don't want to spend money like we used to. Just go on Zoom and say it.
Our knowledge of E3 and what we heard on the inside was that regardless of COVID, things were not going to pan out in 2020 anyway, even if there was no COVID. Okay. So, yeah, that's what we heard. So it could have accelerated anyway. I think the idea is that E3 no longer commanded the attention that it did. Therefore, it's cheaper and more economical to do your own announcement, however you see fit. But like I said, some of them are just not fun to watch, so yeah. Is what it is. But I'm glad I didn't know that people saw that, so that's pretty interesting and awesome that it's at least out there. And I'm curious what Tim asked, like, is it in a state that's for public consumption at this point and this level?
Yeah, I noticed that it kicked up really, really quickly in my For You page on TikTok, like out of nowhere. Like I just got a bunch of like the Ubisoft announcement again. I was like, why is this news? Like, because this happened a couple months ago where like people were saying like there was a leak and they were talking about like kind of details of what this game was going to be. Like this whole idea of like a No Man's Sky Star Wars game was like, oh, that sounds freaking awesome. And then like the same report again, it's kind of like clarifying that this is the kind of game that we're going to get, is a seamless No Man's Sky style Star Wars game where you can pick your own role and do your own thing. It's cool.
Speaking of Fortnite too, have you seen some of these maps that people have built where it's essentially just Battlefront running on the Fortnite engine?
Yeah, I mean, like Call of Duty had to essentially do a cease and desist order on Epic because some of their maps were being just completely copied, like one to one.
I was watching a clip today on TikTok of someone, they were in an Imperial ship of some sort. And it was a bunch of people using the various Stormtrooper skins that are in the game and Clone Trooper skins.
That's wild.
Charging it like Jedis and stuff. And I was just like, it's just Battlefront, but Fortnite.
That's so cool.
It's pretty crazy. I mean, my friends were streaming the game Phasmophobia, but in Fortnite. So it's becomes what? Third person. And like I said, so people just remade. Cool. So basically, they're using the Fortnite engine to just remake other games.
Yeah. People are talking about they're making like entire like MMORPGs in Fortnite now. For, you know, I watched one demo, I guess it was, or playtest or something. It was this like Japanese samurai ninja style MMO situation, this big dragon boss. I was like, what? And it's all drop in. That's all it is you get the blank canvas and you just drop the assets in and build the level, the boss, everything, because it all runs on their Unreal Engine. So
that's
it's
so
just
cool.
It's yeah. just interesting that Fortnite has essentially built a platform like Roblox or any of these, but obviously Fortnite looks better with Roblox. So anything they make is just going to be interesting. So I'm interested to see, and it's not just Star Wars, you know, Marvel has stuff in Fortnite, and what other IPs that we love are going to now get dropped in there. But
well, Star Wars kind of tried to do this. I guess it wasn't them specifically. It was just way too late. So they put out the all the source code from Jedi Academy, which is the same engine that like the fan games, movie battles and stuff like that, they were all based on. So they just dumped all of that source code out there to let people play around with whatever they want. I don't think we got much because it was already kind of outdated at that point. But hopefully, just give us a sandbox and we'll play with the toys ourselves, you know?
Yeah, I mean that what I've noticed is over the years, and Skyrim I think was kind of the straw. I won't say it the one that did it. It's probably the most popular earliest version I can remember of people modding Skyrim. I remember when they turned Skyrim into Westeros. And you were able to do everything from Game of Thrones and Skyrim. And then they turned it into Middle Earth. I remember when Skyrim was supposed to be the Old Republic remake before they got hit with that cease and desist. So it's interesting that when you put things in the hands of the fans, and the companies that embrace it always do the best. Look at the folks who make Total War. Like the Total War folks have been like, mod our game. We don't care. Like have fun. And they've gotten so many cool mods because of that. I think that's the future, is let's create platforms and let people be creative, and you can get interesting stories and things like that. And that's how people are going to get hired and jobs and famous and, you know, all of that. I'm waiting for the day that somebody creates some sort of, you know, let's say Fortnite, and they create a great Star Wars story. And then Disney's like, okay, we should make that a movie or a TV show. That's pretty good. Like, can you imagine that? It's just it. Even furthering that, have you guys seen the Skyrim, the newest AI mod?
Yes, with ChatGPT.
So there's an AI mod, Chaco, for ChatGPT that connects to Skyrim that makes every NPC in the game able to have a conversation with you, a meaningful conversation, and it will alter things in the world as well. And you can use your microphone to talk to the NPC.
Yeah.
And it's not text.
It remembers all the conversations you've had.
So if you go to Riften.
That's really cool.
You don't go to Riften again until like 20 hours later. You go off and do a bunch of stuff. That NPC is going to remember what you said to them and have a conversation based on your previous conversation and the things you've experienced in the game.
Skyrim is like 12 years old. How old Skyrim?
It came out right when I got married. So yeah, I'm celebrating my 12 year anniversary on Sunday. So you're right on the money. So I remember we moved into our apartment in Queens and I got a PS4 and I got a Sky. Yeah. Yep. Right on the money. Cool. I got PS4 and Skyrim and the new TV. And I was like staying up till 2 a.m. playing when I'd work at 7 a.m.
That's what keeps these games alive. That like, everyone should embrace it a lot more. It's weird Nintendo refuses to, but I apologize for going off.
No, this is a great comment. Bethesda is another one that embraces it. They allow you to mod on Xbox and console, which is like unheard of. So, you know, it's interesting because it's going to create again that marketplace, if you will, for people to tell their own stories. And you know, it's going to be the first, maybe it's not a movie. Maybe it's the first concept in, again, let's say Fortnite, that is like Epic turns around like, we need to make that a game. They take us to Lucas. They're like, look, someone made this. Can we make it and hire that person? You know, it's just it's super interesting. The future's wild. I'll say that much.
Wild.
It really is. You mentioned Andor before, too. I just wrapped watching Andor with I watched it, obviously, for the show, but my wife watched it.
Ooh. What did she think?
We watched the first episode like 3 weeks ago. Then we were really busy and we pounded through the next episodes from Friday night. And we finished it on Sunday because she didn't want to stop.
Yeah.
And I told you, Tim, I was like, that's the one. She's like, this is the best Star Wars show next to Mandalorian.
So good.
And she said, the only reason I like Mandalorian is because it's like really lighthearted and it's a bit more about, you know, it's cute. It's more for the family. Like she sat there. She's like, our son would. He wouldn't be interested in it. It's a lot of talking.
It's very adult. It's a darker lens.
Yeah, she loved it. I paused it at the end of Marva's speech and I was like, so Marva, the actress, wanted to say fuck the Empire. But Disney was like, crossing a line. And she's like, she should have. That would have been so much more impactful.
So impactful. So good.
I think the more impactful part was, was what's his name? Slapping the dude with Marva's brick. That was pretty impactful.
That was really she well. Said that. She's like, ooh, with Marva's brick too. I was like, hell yeah. Brasso, that's his name.
Brasso.
But no, again, watching it a second time and knowing what's going to happen, it's it's a completely different lens that you get to see it through. And I got to pick up on a few other little things along the way that maybe I didn't notice the first time. But she, like when we got to the episode before they broke into the Imperial base on Kadani, it stopped and it was time to put the kids to bed. And she's like, shit, can they put themselves to bed? Like she was, she was so ready to go to the next episode. And I was like, babe, good. Come on. This is wonderful. You got your bank heist.
Yeah.
And now you're going to get your prison break. Cause Chaka, Tim was so upset about Kino. Like he was like, what's going to happen to him? I don't know. He can't swim. Is he alive? And then same thing with her.
Such a great job.
She's like, that's it. We just don't know anything else. I was like, there's a rumor that he's going to be in season two, but it's just a rumor. I don't want to guarantee you anything. And then we finished. She's like, when's the next season? I was like, probably not till like next fall. She's like this. Yes. I'm like, no, like it's next fall. She's like, come on. They're going to make us wait. I'm like, this story ends though. It leads right into Rogue One. And she was like, oh, I can't believe they're going to make us wait. I was like, I watched it in October. How do you think I feel?
I mean, after it was done.
Right. Like, and I kept seeing the sentiment of people watching other shows and being like, man, this isn't good. It doesn't scratch the same itch. And you're like, that's the point. But you're watching Mon Mothma at a dinner party talking to Tay, but like having to be in secret had me as on my seat as watching like Maul and Ahsoka fight. And it's weird. It's hard to explain. It's so different, but you're just like, there's a lot of weird verbal jousting. That's just, just so beautifully executed that it's so exciting. And I love that we get this variety. Go ahead.
My wife kept saying, oh my God, I love her dress. Oh my God, I love her dress. Where is she shopping? I was like, somewhere on Coruscant. I'm not sure. One thing I didn't register, and I said this to her while we were watching it, and it's just exactly what you said. I was like, the dichotomy of how the rebellion is being birthed and fought in that show. I noticed how Tony Gilroy started to do the hard cuts going between Mon Mothma and something Cassian was doing. So you could see on the high level in the halls of the mighty and Coruscant, and then down to like the dirty things that the spies have to do with Andor, what Cassian says in Rogue One. He says, you don't know the terrible things I've had to do in the name of the rebellion. We get to see the dichotomy of both and how just because you have a lot of money and you're privileged and you're wealthy, if you're trying to do the right thing in that scenario, you're equally as miserable as the person who's, you know, in prison with a fake prison sentence that could never end. So it was,
and
really
I love that because it is the same thing, because it's a fake prison sentence. There's no way out. Well, there's one way out, and she's in this gilded cage, and there's only one way out. You know, oh man,
we had a show. When he went in the bathroom to hit the pipe, she was like, "Do you want me to make you a drink?" I was like, grabbed her arm. I was like, "Not now. Wait like 10 minutes, and then you can make me your drink." And she goes, "Oh, is this it?" And I was like, "I'm not saying a word to you, but sit on the fucking couch and relax and watch the television."
All right. And then in that episode,
she was like this.
which speech did she prefer? The Kino speech or the Luthen speech?
Which Luthen speech was in that episode?
That was when he met up with the informant, and
that one,
like, what do I sacrifice?
That was really good.
Her, she said her favorite line was like, I'm fighting a rebellion of which, I'm fighting for a sunset that our sunrise that I'll never see. She said that was my favorite line from his conversation with him. Like, Luthen knows I will never reap the benefits of this, but I also know it's the right thing to do. She did say she was hoping for Palpatine to show up at some point. I was like, it's showing you how big the machine is.
Yeah.
Because they want you to know that, like, he's so disconnected from the bottom, except the information he's fed from ISB, that it's almost, you know, this weird. It's what Cassian says. Like, they're so high and mighty that I just walk in there and act like I belong. She said after season two of Andor, is there going to be anything else like this? And I said, I hope they learned from Andor, and the learnings from that go into Acolyte.
Yeah.
And Acolyte is equally being. I hate the word edgy, but I don't know how else to say it. Adult, I guess, is the best way to put it. Like, I was talking to her about the novels, and I said, you know, the novels are even broken up. Like, our kids have the golden books. My son loves the golden books. Tim says too. And then you have like the teenage ones, which usually when I read those, I don't like them, but I get something out of them for the story. And then we have the adult ones. Like, we're both reading Cataclysm right now. Did you finish it yet, by the way?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You always read them way quicker than we do. That's why I was like, asking you. I got like 8 hours left. But I was telling her, like, that's classification of books. So I think they're going to start doing that with the shows now too, where they bring in this adult theme to a lot of the shows. So folks like my wife, who may not be super fan, but husband might be obsessed, or wife or significant other might be obsessed, and the show is interesting enough to watch, which is something I think they learned from Marvel. Because when we started MCU, I had not watched it, and I went into lockdown being like, okay, I am going to watch the MCU. And I'm texting Tim the whole time. He's like, got it. I went through this like 4 years ago, Kevin. Like, and I'm like, oh my God. He's like, yes, just keep going. But I think
this is how we prevent the fatigue from happening. Cause like, it was one thing when we got one project every 3 years, or there was one show that would come back. The only way we can get four shows a year is if we make them vary in tone and scope. I always, when people talk about like Star Wars fatigue, my thought goes to like, how many cop shows are there? Like, you can watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine, you can watch Blue, you can watch Cops, Reno 911 or Law and Order, and they're all crazily different shows. You could watch them back to back and you wouldn't really get fatigued because you're not getting the same thing even close.
Sure.
And as long as Star Wars continues that, you know, like Visions just dropped, and oh my God, some of those episodes for me,
what's your favorite from Visions?
Oh man,
season two, obviously.
I was surprised at this, but like,
just like the other ones, I'm just curious, which one was your favorite?
The final one, Al's song, like, it just hit me different. You know, I was just like, this strange animation, I've never seen anything like it before, but like this, I don't know, there was like a purity amongst it. And then the way that the child like doesn't speak at all, it's only in song until it starts to make changes, and then they start to like him. There was a lot.
This one surprised me the most. There was some real duds. I'm not go into this with this knowledge. I'm not an anime guy.
Yeah.
I've never been into anime. It's just not my thing. No hate to anyone that loves anime. Tim likes anime, so I'm kind of different there. So season one to me was like, there are some ones I straight up didn't like. This season, I didn't think any of the episodes were bad. I just ranked them. But the one that got me the most, my favorite was Bandits of Golok. Tim agreed with me that was our favorite.
Yeah. Amazing.
But the one that shocked me, the one that blew me away, was the Spy Dancer. I went into that like, I'm going to hate this one.
Good.
And by the end of it, I was like holding back tears because it would like, it got you good. And as a parent too, it like tugs at you hard.
Yeah, it definitely hurt.
And so I am a big anime fan. But after watching these, I was like, do I need to, like that one, I was like, do I need to start finding French animation stuff? Like, it made me realize like, oh, I'm missing out on a lot, because I'm still only focused in this small area, even amongst anime, you know?
Sure. Even watching with my 8-year-olds, we watched The Screecher, And I was like, oh, this animation should be fine. And by the end, he was like, I think I'm going to have nightmares. And I was like, oh, God in heaven, I'm going to be up all night because of the damn Sith witch. And I'm keep saying, I was like, it's not a ghost. It was a crazy old Sith, dude. Like, that's all it was. And he's like, I don't know. I was seeing it. I'm like, no, it was just a crazy old hermit Sith lady.
Look like a ghost, Kevin.
So, no, I
and then at the end, when you think she's like, oh, well, she's reaching towards the light. She's going to, nope.
Nope.
Love that one.
Yeah, I mean, I think season two is better than season one. I think it was more of a variety, but I think the storytelling was better across the board. And it's so hard to say that because it's an anthology series, so it's really hard to, like, judge. So the only one I said I didn't like was, and again, no hate, I still thought it was good for what it was I Am Your Mother. And I know it was like the animators from like Wallace and Gromit from when we were kids, but it just wasn't my thing. I didn't connect with it. And that's okay.
So cute.
It was cute. It was adorable, it just wasn't my thing.
Yeah.
I actually agree. That was my least favorite one as well. But again, it wasn't, I think it was because this was such a huge studio that they were just kind of flexing and they weren't like super focused. Like there's all these small studios. A lot of people haven't heard of. And those people were digging deep to like tell these heartfelt stories, you know.
For sure.
That's kind of how I felt about it.
Bandits of Golok was just
so good,
incredible. Like, please make that Tim from the first season. Which one is the one you're like, make it a series?
Oh my
Seventh
god,
Jedi?
Ninth Jedi. Oh my god, if they did an entire series off that, because I love that time period, the whole idea of like 200 years in the future. The Jedi have been forgotten. They haven't been seen in a long time. There's no remnants of them at all. Like, that's a really cool period to me because it's still within the universe, but it's something that we've never seen before. So,
and if you were going to do that for season two, Bandits of Golok was like, I will watch more of that if you make more of that. my other favorite thing was I love the idea of combining indigenous cultures with Star Wars stories. I think that is such a fun way to tell stories, and it's a resource. If we're allowed to just use Star Wars as a playground for future Visions episode, I was like, go for it. Like, tell a Greek Star Wars story, tell an African Star Wars stories, tell a Canadian Star Wars. I don't know. Like, who cares? Have fun with it and like go nuts like that, because that's what made that special and cool and interesting. I saw a post today that was like, Inquisitors I want to learn more about. And one of them was the Inquisitor from Bandits of Golok. And I was like, I kind of agree. I want to know the backstory there. I want more.
It's showing how much Star Wars has touched the hearts of people around the world. Every single one of those studios got it. Like, they all get Star Wars. But it all resonates with them differently. You know, I cried during The Pit, but that one, heavy. It's a heavy story. And I also, I mean, there's a lot of, African-American pretty blatant overtones throughout that whole story. And like, so it just hits different. And letting other people be able to tell those stories is like, I don't know, it's so beautiful. But the Bandits of Golok was 88 Studios, the Indian studio, and I was, you know, earlier I had mentioned the movie RRR, which is like it's a Middle Eastern film. It's an action film. It's like 3 hours long. It is the best bromance you've ever seen. There's a dance number in the middle of it that just works, but it's also one of my favorite. Ray Stevens is in it, and I guess it's, he just passed. So if you're looking for something Ray Stevens to check out, you know, after that passing, I'd recommend that, especially if you really enjoyed, you know, that film, because it's the Bandits of Golok. Because it has the same type of vibes, right? It's the same Indian type of vibes.
Cool.
Yeah, Ray's passing is interesting. We'll get into that a little bit after the break, but I've been watching Rome on HBO.
Yeah.
And he's in that. And then he's in one of my other favorite movies. You know the movies that you say you like that no one's ever seen, like you said about RRR, is like, you know the King Arthur movie that, I forget the name of the director, he also did Tears of the Sun, did with Clive Owen. Ray Stevenson is in that movie, and I love that movie. Mads Mikkelsen is in it. There's so many people in that movie, and no, I tell people about it.
Never heard of it.
Exactly. Everyone's like, I haven't seen it. And I'm like, it's such a good movie. It's basically the, if King Arthur was a real person, which that's a debate.
Yeah.
This is the story of how it would have been with the Empire of Rome ruling England and Hadrian's Wall and the Picts north of the wall and all that stuff. Highly recommend, thoroughly enjoyed. And you will recognize most of the actors in that movie, but Ray Stevenson is in that movie as well. And then there was something else that he was in that I just recently saw or referenced. I can't remember what it was, but we'll talk about it. You know what? Let's take the break and then let's talk about it. So yes, we will be right back. We're going to pay a few bills and we're going to talk about Ray Stevenson on the other side of the break.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We are back. All right. So we're talking about Ray Stevenson on the other side. We're talking about on this side. What were you saying, Tim?
No, I was looking at his IMDb. So his King Arthur movie.
That's the one. Watch that movie. It's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. I remember this. Oh, this is the one with Natalie Portman.
No, not Natalie Portman. Right? Keira Knightley's in it.
Keira Knightley, that one.
Yeah. She plays Merlin's daughter.
Sabe. Not Sabe, not Padme.
Yeah. But so Ray Stevenson passed this week, 58 years old, way too young, playing Bell and Skrull in the Ahsoka show.
Yeah.
It was really nice, and it's one of those moments, and Chaco, I know you're like us, where we really fight for a positive atmosphere within the Star Wars community instead of the shitposting and hating that we see a lot. But it was really nice to see the community come together on a show that no one has even seen yet.
Yeah.
And honor, someone who's given something to us to entertain us. We won't see it till August. But it was really good to see. My question is, we don't know what happens to that character in the show.
Right.
And again, two completely different scenarios, but I'm saying it as a plot device they've used. Are we going to Cara Dune the situation if Baylan is living through this show? Like, it's the same thing that happened with episode 9 with Carrie.
Yeah.
We had to fill in the blanks along the way. And you know what? As much as everyone says shit about episode 9, at the end of the day, what they did with Carrie to bring her back and make sure that we all had closure, I think was actually very well done, considering the fact that they had to use footage that was just filmed already.
Yeah.
So I'm curious what you both think about, the idea of Baylan potentially living at the end of Ahsoka and how do we, course correct the storytelling there?
I mean, that's going to be interesting. We'll have to kind of wait and see how that whole story pans out. But I do feel like there is something that often happens within Star Wars because Baylan also has Shin.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Shin or Shim? I can't remember.
I think it's Shim.
Shim. Okay. Oftentimes you'll see like it's the older master that doesn't make it and the younger one is given the opportunity to make a better choice. And so if it goes, that's just kind of the way I've just naturally been assuming it was going to go. Also, we know that we're going to be leading into Dave Filoni's movie. And
Heir to the Empire.
Yeah. And so Thrawn's going to be the antagonist of that movie. So that leads me to believe that while we were kind of expecting Thrawn to be the antagonist of Ahsoka, it probably won't be. And it will be, these characters and their story will resolve at the end of the season.
So, Tim, we got to ask him the question, what are they? Dark Jedi?
I think they're Dark Jedi.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think, I mean, I think they're going to use the term fallen Jedi, but yeah, I absolutely agree. I think that they are going to be dark Jedi in nature.
So are they the, again, I hate to compare canon to legends, but are they the Joris of this version of the story to you? Well, go ahead, Tim.
I mean, Joris was just like a clone and he kind of like went crazy. So like, I don't think they'll pull from that. I think they'll be a completely different character.
Yeah, I don't think they're good. So I love the expanded universe. You know what I mean? I'm still like 140 books deep into it. It was wild. So I don't know that you could quite do a Joris Abbott, like a failed clone that you needed to harvest in a non-force environment so they don't go crazy. Is like a lot of story to tell. Hit my microphone. But in the Bane trilogy, there is someone that Xana looks at to be a potential candidate for an apprentice who is, you know, a dark Jedi. And I, for some reason, his name is escaping me. But he's just kind of like a selfish kind of douchebag who uses the dark side just for his own ambitions and to make himself wealthy. And I'm curious if we might go something more similar to that route or... Yeah. You know, he's out there and he's hunting the dark side artifacts and things that he thinks can give him power. And I feel like that could fit kind of well into this story. And that's why they could be racing in order to find, you know, a temple or something that lets them into, you know, the Virgin Scatter or whatnot. And the girl Shim gives me heavy, like, Tahiri Vela vibes from the Legacy of the Force.
Darth Corgus is Xana's apprentice. The one scene where Baylan and Ahsoka are in a room full of what looks to be stars and everything. What's your take on that? Because Tim and I had some opinions on that as well.
Yeah, it looked interesting. I couldn't quite... So for me, it didn't quite look like the World Between Worlds, but it still might have been. I'm hoping they were in what's it called? the place from the High Republic that the Nile meet on originally, where it's just like a flat plane. Open to space, I mean, but inside of a you know, force field. But it also could be she's trying to get back to the World Between Worlds in order to find a location where she can figure out where Ezra is to try and be there when that happens.
No space. I don't know. That's where the Nihil meet.
No space. Yeah.
Yeah, the Great Hall of the Nihils in no space. Yeah, I mean, on one hand, I was like, okay, it could be the Veil of the Force or the World Between Worlds, like you said.
Yeah.
Or it looks a lot like a star map from Coder 2. Like, you know, when you turn the star map on?
Oh, it does. It does.
It looks like that as well. So it could be a map to something, which plays into the artifacts and all that stuff, which, again, I agree with you, is pretty much the... I have a feeling that you're right on that. And I also feel like that's going to, I don't want to say play into Acolyte, but I have a feeling Acolyte will have a similar vibe where it's Jedi, the Order, I'm not happy, I can do more. Oh, I read texts in the archives that I probably shouldn't have read, and now I'm off to this planet to find thing, and, you know, maybe we run into some Sith that we might already know.
Yeah. Who knows? And by the way, Set Hearth was the character's name I was thinking of from the the Bane books.
His name might be Sith name is Darth Corgus.
Oh no, he doesn't end up becoming. He was a potential, but she goes with someone else. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Corvus is the one I was thinking of. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it's so you think that Shim will probably be the predominant antagonist, let's just put it that way for now. At the end of this season, essentially.
Oh, no, well, I mean,
besides Thrawn.
Oh, no, I mean, I do think Balin's going to be the primary protagonist. And, you know, for the people that were there at Star Wars Celebration, unfortunately, I didn't get to go. But there was a scene in the trailer where Sabine fights with Ezra's lightsaber against her.
Yeah.
So I think it's like, you know, big bad, little bad. And I think I hope at the end, little bad gets a chance to change their mind.
Is there any other content we're going to get after Ahsoka's over before Heir to the Empire, again, allegedly name of the movie, airs? Like, is Mandalorian season 4 going to come out before that and play more into this story?
Oh, interesting.
Ooh.
Well, they haven't even started filming the movie.
No, they can't because the writer's strike. They were about to.
So I would probably.
Writer's strike is holding up.
I don't know.
I mean, I think Man of Season 4 is written, but even with the writer's strike, you still, because there's still punch ups and things, you know, on a daily basis. So you still can't do anything. And I please don't. Don't do the 2007 thing where they're like, screw it, we'll go anyways. And it just ruins a lot of
stuff. Don't do that. Don't do that. Those people are very talented and they deserve everything they're asking for. So just give it to them. You can have one less yacht and we can get more entertainment. Okay, thanks, bye.
It really hit me hard when, what was his name? Adam Conover was went on. I don't know if you saw the clip when they interviewed him about it. And he was like, well, the owners of this channel made an extra, you know, this many billion dollars, and that would cover 25,000 writers. So, and called out like that network. So it's a great, I'll have to find
him. Yeah, I've seen his TikToks. It's really good.
Adam's very good at laying things out in a way that's very palatable for all of us to be like, oh, yeah, we are getting ripped off.
Yeah.
That's my question. Like, has Dave's movie been written? Are they going to enter production when the writer's strike ends? Like, I'm very curious to see the order of events here. And I guess we'll know more by the time Ahsoka's over, because we'll have a much, much better. Do we know how many episodes Ahsoka is?
Not that I've seen. I think we will get Bad Batch, the Bad Batch finale before. And I think that will lead in. Because we know Mount Tantus and them trying to find cloning technology and stuff like that is going to be at least tangentially related.
Has to be.
So that'll come out beforehand. But yeah, I don't know about anything else.
What'd you think of the end of Bad Batch with this Hemlock's assistant being another female clone? Which we were
it was so good.
I mean, we were calling that the second we saw her.
Tim and I were woman 7. That was a shock to us.
Well, I was like, okay, she looks more like a clone than Omega does. And then she started talking, and we're like, also has a New Zealand accent. I mean, I know accents aren't supposed to be hereditary, but for some reason they are in Star Wars. So I don't know. We were instantly like, this is a clone. And also she was the only person that referred to Crosshair by the name Crosshair. The others referred to him as a number. So like she saw him as a brother. So yeah, I kind of expected that. But you know, I didn't love season 1. I normally stay up and watch things at midnight because I just don't want to be spoiled. And yeah. I fell off in season 1. I didn't care. I was like, you know what? I'll watch it this weekend or whatever. I'm not that excited. But this one was like banger after banger. It was, I thought this was a great season. And I think they really upped the ante.
It's Tech Dad.
Yeah. Well, as the Grand Inquisitor says, some things are worse than death. So I pray he's dead. Because if he's not, hopefully they don't go the Legends version of Dark Troopers. Because the original versions of Dark Troopers were like 60% person.
Oh,
we're
Death Troopers. Yeah, Tim and I think that the Dark Troopers are mechanical, especially after End of Mandalorian. Like, it seems like Phase 4 is like it's an exosuit essentially.
Yeah.
But I think they're Death Troopers. That the leftover clones are Death Troopers.
Yeah, that'll be so that's why I hope not. Like, he has his glasses and he fell on ice, but also a train probably fell on top of him. I don't know.
Can we even think of that like Tech could be the one that they like show them?
No, I think all that was left was just his glasses. He got saved and we'll see him at the beginning of the next season.
I don't know if he saved as much as he scienced his way out of the situation. That's my feeling. It's like,
still think we're gonna end up seeing him at the beginning of the next season.
He was like, you know, the calculation of me falling at this rate, if I latch onto that at 3 point whatever seconds, da 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 da, and like teched his way out of the situation. That would be my ideal outcome.
I think he's still alive.
I think if they are gonna go the necrotic like zombie Death Trooper route, that Crosshair would be essentially patient zero for the Death Trooper program.
So I used to play competitive Smash Brothers. So when you said teched his way out, I'm thinking like, oh, okay. So they like spiked him down, but he was able to shield the same within three frames of hitting the ground and roll out. You know, oh man,
it's kind of like Mace Windu, right, Tim? He just as he was plummeting to the ground, he hates when I do this.
I hate. He's dead, Kevin. Let the man die.
Someone was like, well, if Survivor can survive in a back to tank, maybe they put Mace Windu and he's been in there for years. And I was like, listen, the goop that they swept off of the Coruscant pavement, you can't put that in a back to tank. I'm sorry.
But people, because they're saying that the Jedi can catch themselves in midair in the High Republic books, are like, oh, then Mace Windu could totally do it with one hand. Since he got thrown through the window, he still had one hand left. He probably just caught himself.
Was he conscious on the way down?
I think he's dead. I think Mace Windu is very much so dead. But a lot of people argue with me on this one, almost as much as arguing me with the fact that Jar Jar Binks is a dark Sith Lord.
Well, gets under your skin.
People have to die, and the thing I don't understand is there's more like Maul got cut in half and fell down a hole and people are like, okay, that he came back as a crazy man with spider legs, and they want Mace Windu to come back, but they act weird when Palpatine, the originator of all the clones, whose master was obsessed with everlasting life, who the dark side does unnatural things, that we've seen it like reanimate corpses for the Night Sisters, and people act like that is a bridge too far.
I think the only problem with that is, and I'm with you, but I'll meet the other people halfway, is the explanation for that is somehow not this is how. But in classic Star Wars fashion, it's something we may not find out for 15 years in some obscure book or a comic or something as to how he survived and whatnot. Although I do think that the mention of Project Necromancer is like probably the beginning of us learning that story and getting the blanks filled in there. I would just say that's it. But I'm also a Star Wars fan who knows, like, you don't get every answer up front. You might have to wait a few years. So,
yeah.
And I don't want every answer up front. I think that's part of the fun. That's what makes the universe bigger than any single project, is we don't know what happens. And then Bo-Katan shows up in The Mandalorian and you're like, oh, I guess we get to find out some of what happens. Now, I do take kind of issue with The Mandalorian becoming an extension of The Clone Wars rather than continuing being The Mandalorian, but that's a different topic.
Yeah, I'm with you, because I think it's not like Lord of the Rings or Middle Earth where everything's established and we're just in it now. Yes, Rings of Power is trying to fill in some blanks of things that Tolkien, you know, didn't get to mention. I don't think they're doing the best job of it, but they're trying to fill in some blanks along the way. But I also think that's part of the Tolkien state, not all on them, because they won't release what they need to make a real solid show. But with Disney's version of the canon, we are getting the story playing out in real time as we, you know, move along and it fills in the blanks. So I think the journey is part of the excitement. But I do think people's issue is less not Palpatine coming back, more of just like the explanation in the movie, just being Poe being like, somehow. So,
which I get, but like at the same time, the hell is Poe know? Like, I mean, I don't want an explanation from Poe, but yeah, I get the issue with the line. I just mean more so the concept that he would come back isn't anything that I find to be surprising in the slightest.
The problem is you set the precedent with Maul that literally no one in the Star Wars universe, unless you see a body and they're buried, you're really like opening the door for them to come back.
Look at Boba Fett.
Yes.
You know? I mean, like, you literally cannot die in the Star Wars universe. I bet you Ben Solo is alive. They're just keeping him. I bet you they're keeping him alive just for a rainy day.
Harrison, what if Obi-Wan's alive and he was just messing with Yoda the entire time?
Hello there.
Yeah. He had like a hollow projector that he kept tossing out. He's like Mysterio. He's been alive. He's just been projecting places.
He just set up lights in the backlight him in the swamps of Dagobah just to mess with old Yoda. Like, hello, Yoda. But yeah, it's. I agree with you. I think the journey is part of the fun, especially when we read, you know, one of my favorite things right now is when we read something in the High Republic that like connects back to, you know, the era of the Skywalker saga. And we're like, huh, okay, that's interesting. Yeah. That's cool. I could get down with that. Even within the High Republic, Tim and I were talking about last week how, and again, we don't know how Cataclysm ends, but, you know, we know the resolution of the war between Irem and Arano. It was in the other books. So we know how that ends, but it's just trying to get from that order of affairs to where we are now and figure out like, how the hell do they fix this mess? We thought the wedding was like, all right, they fixed it. I was like, nope, now we're back at it again. So it's just, you know, which by the way, wedding. Tim and I,
hey, but we got Yaddle in there. So
Yaddle is in there. I was very excited. I was like, it was not the only one. And Master and Cesis, like we're getting a few more that we know from the current era. One thing with that too is Tim and I were like, the wedding might have been one of the best literary pieces of Star Wars I've ever read.
Yeah,
it was just the music. Did you audiobook or you read it?
Audio. I both, because sometimes I get the books before the audiobook.
So
is a thing.
We do audiobooks just because time, but
yeah,
we were listening to it and the music and the moment. And the I do while they're firing their blasters and everything. I was just like, this is awesome. This is the most Star Wars wedding ever. And it's just fantastic. And these two can never like get separated. I'm really hoping one of them doesn't die because I feel like that's coming at some point. But, you know, it's good. But yeah, that's what I like is when they connect the dots and you get an aha. That's what makes Star Wars special to me right now, is that you're like, okay.
Or you play Fallen Order and you see that the moon is destroyed and you're like, is that from the High Republic Light of the Jedi? Was that destruction caused by an emergence from hyperspace from the Legacy Run?
Oh, shit. Was it?
I mean... I believe so. Yeah. I mean, when you're in the vision, and people invade, that's denial.
Yeah, we knew that.
Oh no, we knew. We were pissed.
I was so pissed.
They just pissed that's all we got.
They just skimmed right over it. I was so mad.
That's a storm. I was like, that's a storm. And a red light. Oh my God, it's denial. And then they cut it. I was like, no. And then the only other thing you get is that one lore piece when you get to what's the planet's name? I forgot what it was called. The crashed ship. You get that one lore piece. I was like, that's it. That's all I get. I was hoping for like bodies or something else, but like, no. So I don't know. It's just me. Just me. I also
think a comic book.
Before we move to Star Cruiser, I want to ask Chaco the thing I asked you last week, Tim.
What?
Did you feel based on the first game that the story was going to surround around the Zepho, but because the new initiative internally is the High Republic, and I'm not saying this is a bad thing. I'm just saying this is my speculation, that at some point in the writing of Survivor, they were like, no, we have to take the focus off the Zepho and shift it to the High Republic.
Absolutely.
Okay, just make it see, Tim.
But I do think I do love how it plays out though, because sure. the aesthetic works, and yep. it also makes the puzzles, which I like. I fully feel like they were planning out these puzzles as parts in Zepho Tombs, and then we're like, okay, we'll pivot and we'll separate these, and so now it's just like. It makes me laugh to think about these Jedi Masters that are just setting up these weird obstacle courses for their Padawans. I just love the concept.
I was thinking about that when I was picking up the echoes from some of the Jedi. Like, this is just like a weird... And then the one where you fight...
It's Jedi dude, Kid, like, escape rooms.
The one where you fight the dude, I was like, how long has this guy been in here? How is he alive? What has he been doing this entire time?
It's been so poor.
This is weird. So I mean, it was a force ghost. I don't know. Something else. I was, but the fact that you just open the door, he's like, hey, I'm like, oh, all right, we're doing this. Let's go. It was just a little weird. But yeah, no, that was our feeling. Like, I feel like you're pivoting.
Still pissed.
About what?
They just like completely skipped over the whole Zepho story arc.
Like, yeah, Tim was excited about that.
I was really hoping for a continuation of that. Like it was a really interesting topic that was really unique to this game, and it felt like the next game would make sense to where you'd carry on that story, and you get to the part where you're like, ah, here we go, and they're like, no, we're just gonna move on. Like, but why? Like why? And they haven't mentioned it anywhere else. Like it hasn't been mentioned anywhere else, and like this was the key to this like really cool new whole idea of like these ancient force users that are massive, they're huge, and we get even these cool visions. I went back and played Fallen Order. It's like this whole thing where you get this whole vision and you walk through and you're actually like seeing the large Zepho. What happened?
And telling their story about how they fell into darkness,
what
and
they
all
did
this
to
stuff.
Their planets, and how they essentially like they committed their own self genocide. Like it was so interesting.
And then we had in Bad Batch season 2, they find that weird tomb and there is a big giant robot thing that shoots lasers.
Looks really Zepho, right?
It looks like its head looks the shape of a Zepho's head. The laser beam that it shoots out looks like the same of the Temple Guardians.
Mm-hmm.
Just a heck of a lot more powerful. Yeah, I did think that was weird. We run into Eno Cordova. He's like, yeah, this didn't pan out. Anyways.
Also,
don't worry about
correct
that.
Correct me
and
if I'm wrong.
I was like, I thought you were dead.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Thank you. That's what I was just about to say.
They really made it look like he was dead in the first game.
I was like, what are you doing here? You should be dead right now, but I'm really happy to see you regardless.
Okay, I'm glad I wasn't alone with that.
No,
but yeah, no, I turned into the Saturday Night Live Californian skit. I'm like, what are you doing here?
Also, the internet's obsessed with the Turgle, which means most of them didn't finish the game and meet the fisherman dude, who was the coolest one in the entire game.
Oh, he was so good. Scuba Steve.
I hate Turgle. I do, and I don't get
not a
it.
Fan.
I don't know if you watched, you know, Parks and Rec, but I feel like Ben, whenever little Sebastian is around, and he's like, I just don't get it. Like, what does he do? I did feel really bad because he irritated me whenever he talked, and like I'd walk away. And one time I was just walking away, and he's like, "Why does everyone walk away from me?" Oh. Like, okay, well, buddy, Turgle. I'll come back.
Hate to say it, but no, Scuba Steve was the highlight of like the ancillary characters for me.
I got so excited every place he'd show up. I'm like, oh, tell me the rest of your story. Like,
keep going. I want to know more about this amazing fish you caught. And yeah, let's go put it in the thing. The other character, I really like Cage. Was that her name? The bounty hunter?
Cage, yeah.
I really like that. And Tim was like, finish the bounties. I was like, all right. So I finished it the other night. And I was like, oh, that was fun.
Right? Isn't that fun?
It was a lot of fun.
And I'm so thankful that they did it right, in my opinion. Because I'm not a fan of just having a legacy character show up at the end and like resolve all the conflict, being like, this story actually doesn't matter. You know, I don't. It was really cool to have. I have two minds about it, right? There's the fan brain and then like the story brain of like if I was writing, and it's cool to have Vader show up at the end of Rogue One, but I do feel like it somewhat narratively undercuts part of the fit. Like it feels like the movie ends with a piece of like pro Empire propaganda. and then Mandalorian season 2, love the scene with Luke showing up, but I feel like it undercuts Din's story. Cause like if Din didn't go there at all, Luke would still show up and solo everyone on the ship, yeah. You know? And it's weird to not have, and of course the scene in Jedi Fallen Order is iconic, with what happens and Vader chases them out. But I just don't want any more stories that are ended by a legacy character showing up and being like, I'm more badass than anything new. And then you're like, that's cool. But like, I don't know. It feels weird to me. I could be wrong. That's just my own personal thing. But like, I feel like that type of cameo was perfectly done, where it doesn't take away from anything in the story.
Yeah.
And it's only additive.
It also leaves a potential open for Boba to be hunting you in the finale of the trilogy as well,
which would be super cool.
So he could potentially be essentially a boss. Maybe not in the main story, but maybe there is another bounty. My biggest issue with the bounty hunting, and this is so petty and superficial, is that all of them look the same. And I get it. They're all from the Haxian Brood. I read the book too. Like, it is what it is. But I would have liked, if I'm doing bounty hunting, I would like to have more of a variety. So I hope they take that into consideration. Like, maybe they do need money, and that's what Cal is doing to make some money. That's what Mandalorians do. It's just, thing. And I understand it was almost like an anti-bounty hunting because he was protecting himself from bounty hunters. But yeah. I don't know. That was my only complaint about that. I liked going back to the locations. I liked picking up new echoes because of it. Mm-hmm. But it didn't. That was my only complaint.
Oh, I mean, are we in full spoiler territory?
Yeah, go for it. We did it last week.
For a while.
Okay.
Yeah, we're good.
The going back and finding Bode echoes
so good
after finishing the game, and you're like, and like more. It's certain thing. It hurts way more, especially hearing his daughter like talk on the ship, and you're like, come on, man.
singing the lullaby. Oh man.
Yeah. It just was so well done.
But Bode was a great story because it was so tragic, and by the end of it, you were so attached to him, and you knew you had to kill your friend.
Yeah.
And you also had the juxtaposition of your friend didn't have a choice. And I'm saying that objectively, like obviously he had a choice, but as a parent, it adds a whole other dynamic to the scenario. And I didn't trust him the whole game. Something was off.
Yeah.
They did that on purpose. The way he talked about his daughter, and it felt like there was an ulterior motive to all of this. The way everyone died in the beginning except him, it just felt off. Nothing was ever right. So I didn't trust him.
He kept being like, so you and Marin, right? Like, go get that. Like, don't worry about other stuff. Just go for it.
Because he knew that the emotional bond is the thing that breaks you of the Jedi brain, which he was. And again, another great point. He's right. And that's always the best scenarios is a reference this all the time, but like Joker in the Dark Knight, his speech to Two-Face, why do we all connect with it? Because he's like 97% of that is correct. You can't dispute it. It's fact. And that is why we like certain villains and things like that. Like Bode.
Killmonger as well.
Killmonger, great example.
No, I mean, you hit the nail on the head, and I love how that adds an extra flavor to what we experience with both Cal's journey and the main villain, whose name is Dagon Garris arc, where we learn about how all of these people were good people who end up being so focused, so yeah, there's nothing wrong with the connection or with reaching out to these things, but when it turns to obsession, when it turns into I will burn this galaxy to the ground for this thing, and you're like, that's kind of problematic. But this whole time, the reason Cal has split off from the rest of his group is because he's so angry at the Empire for what they did that he's almost going to go down that path to burn them to the ground, and you know, becomes, you know, don't turn into a monster to fight monsters.
Yep. Yeah. I mean,
yeah, but it's so much fun when they get to turn into monsters, though. Like,
I mean, getting to
be the bad. Oh, that ability was a little bit wildly overpowerful. It was wildly overpowered.
The fact that you get to keep it at the end of the game when you're doing everything else, my God! Like, just grabbing droids and just crunching them into scrap metal is
good.
Very satisfying.
So, because I had like in kind of early release copy, and because it was pre-release patch, so it ran like a drunk hippo on a unicycle. I just like raced through the story as quickly as I could, and so it was my second playthrough on New Game Plus that I was able to do all these exploring and stuff. And so it was hilarious because I found the one cave where you have all three of the big monsters of Kobo, and you have to fight them all at once, and that was fun. They were kicking my butt, and like I was running to the corner, and I was like, "All right, forget this," and I hit to the little dark side power and just wrecked everything. I'm just like wiped out, like nothing. I was like, "Okay."
Came in very handy for end game. I was like, "This is so much easier." I remember the bounty, even the bounty hunters. I was just like, hack, 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 block, hack, 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 or you're dead, and I didn't even run out of my ult. How's that feel? So, yeah, it was very helpful. Before we go, we have to talk about one more thing.
Yeah.
Disney announced last week, well, among other things, that they are shutting down the Galactic Star Cruiser as of September 28th will be its last voyage. We are recording this on the 23rd. You'll hear it on the 24th of May, and on Friday the 26th the bookings will open again. From the day we saw the pricing, Tim and I said this isn't gonna work, and our favorite, I don't say favorite, but the best quote we heard about it was like, Galactic Star Cruiser is not for Star Wars fans, it's for rich people that think Star Wars is neat.
Yep.
I did not see it coming this quickly, I have to say, but you know, Bob Iger is a much more decisive man than Bob Chapek, so whatever is next for that space, Iger probably knows and is like, yeah, cool, we're going to start that transition. One thing I didn't add to the notes because I read it late last night was the Imagineers already had seasonal stories and whatnot ready to go to give you reasons to come back. So they were going to change it up, which is what we said. Now, everyone says the same thing, and that the problem was that they time locked it, and that was the damning piece. And then now we saw Galaxy's Edge that the time lock has been broken. It's not between episodes 8 and 9.
Never made sense.
Well, Mando and Grogu walk around Galaxy's Edge now, so it's over. Like, that's they're not doing it that way anymore. So what I'd love to hear from you two is thoughts on all of that, and could quicker action on changing the story and altering things save it, or was it like the price point was the kicker and that's the end of it?
From my perspective, I mean, it's the whole thing, it feels like a very, very expensive proof of concept. Right, because I feel like on a more marketing end, this has been talked about like a Star Wars hotel, right? It's a Star Wars hotel. It's not a Star Wars hotel, right? It would be one thing if you had a Star Wars themed hotel that would have a dinner theater. Yep. This was going to medieval times, but you live there for a few days and you're in the arena 24/7 fighting alongside them. You know what I mean? Like, this was a different type of experience altogether. So yeah, this was 48 hours of Star Wars LARPing nonstop. And if you thought of this as a Star Wars hotel, then that price is astronomical, right? You can go to any resort and save money on that. I have quite a few friends who went and who absolutely had a blast and said that they would be willing to go again, but it was expensive. But that type of experience is not, that type of experience is A, just not for everyone. B, they have seasonal storylines now. I had never heard that. So it seemed like there wouldn't be any incentive to come back. Right. And if you are constantly having to get new people, like, Disneyland is making a lot of money off of repeat guests, right? People who come back and they come back to get the new lightsaber. It's not something that's repeatable. It's not something that's easily attainable.
Yeah.
And I think, and I honestly don't think the time locking was the biggest issue with it, because I think if you're going to actually truly LARP, if you're going to live in it, they got to pick a time frame and a place to make you feel like you're in Star Wars. But I don't know, man. I mean, I think if they change it into an actual Star Wars hotel, and inside of this hotel is an area where you get to go and be part of it for like different shows, like there are these 3-hour windows that you get to go and you're in the universe, that might work. And if you did that, you can switch it up. You can have this season of Star Wars, next season you're in New York in the Marvel universe, which is a terrible place to be because you might die. You could have the very next season you're in Toy Story and everything's huge, you know. I don't know, but that would be something that would make it, you get more people there, more people to experience it, and lower the price. And I think something like that would probably work better.
Tim?
Yeah, I mean, like we've said before, like I always thought that this should have just been to your point, Chaka, it should have been a Star Wars themed hotel. It shouldn't have been like this LARPing experience. I mean, like, they essentially made a cruise ship on land. You get locked to this schedule. You're essentially like you would be on a cruise ship. You got to pay for a Disney cruise ship, but you never got to go onto the ocean. And just like that concept just, I don't think it really works. I'm also really curious to see what they're going to do with that space. That space is so unique. I mean, like, again, they built it like it was a cruise ship. So you've got like all of these areas that are like common spaces. So like, what are you going to do with that? Are you going to, like, the amount of rooms they have are very limited. So like, you're going to have like you're going to have a discrepancy when it comes to how many rooms you're going to be able to get out there. Like, it's going to be expensive then, right? So I don't know. It just seems like a whole mess. Like, when you really think about the logistics of this, it's messy.
I do have kind of another question for you guys though. Do you think the part, or at least the expediency with which it is being shut down, has anything to do with Disney's issues with Florida?
No, I think the Lake Nona, well, as you know, we're in Tampa, so we're living through this. I think the Lake Nona project was a shot against the state of Florida and some of the decisions they've made. What I would say is, I think the Galactic Star Cruiser was a money bleed. They couldn't even book full cruises throughout I think it was after the summer or something. Now, at least from May, once they open that up on Friday, that shit's going to be sold out immediately. And Tim and I have never gone. Could we afford to go? Sure. That was my thing, was I didn't see. We have another friend who went and said that they had a great time, but you have to LARP. If you do not LARP, it is not worth your money. And I think one thing there, and I'm really trying not to generalize here, but it's the best way I can put it, is, you know, a lot of Star Wars fans are introverts. They're not extroverts. And LARPing is an extrovert activity. It's not an introvert activity.
Absolutely.
So it you know, you've taken a fan base already, you know, you're price gating it, and then on top of it, you're taking, you know, the idea that you need an outgoing, rich Star Wars fan to enjoy this. So I do think they'll reform it. I do think it will become a regular Disney hotel. And I do think the idea of dinner shows and things like that will be what the feature is, yeah, to be in that hotel. I also agree with you, Tim, that it's going to be ridiculously expensive still as compared to other hotel stays on property. You know, we can go. I just went with my for my daughter's fourth. I was telling you before, Taco. And, you know, I spent a decent amount of money for 4 days, but, you know, I stayed in one of the nicer medium level hotels. I didn't stay in like Grand Floridian or one of the super expensive ones. My assumption would be if their game plan is to go the route of the dinner show or some sort of interactive activity, or, you know, let's say you can put your kid in like Jedi training, some stuff like that. Some of the activities that they already have built into it, that it will come at a cost, you know, for you to stay there still, but they can get their whales who want to stay on a Star Wars ship for 10 days and, you know, not be limited to 2 days and, you know, kind of foot the bill and whatnot there. And one of the other things too is Iger came out and said Chapek got overzealous. He was greedy. But none of the prices changed.
Yeah.
But what we did see was more deals, you know, like Florida residents save 35%, pass holders save this, you know, come during this time and save 40%. So I think you'll see that with a high price tag, and it'll just be timing your visit in a way that makes sense financially to enjoy it. And that's how they invite everyone in to experience. But yeah, I just think the idea of the limited time, the schedule, all the things we said, it just doesn't work, especially in this financial climate. Like, people can't afford it straight up.
Yeah, like, we're in the middle of crazy inflation and all this stuff, and then they're like, yes, you have to be a Star Wars fan, you have to be extroverted, you have to have a lot of money, you have to be into cosplay, you have to, yeah, there's just so many, like, the pie is just shrinking down to 0.4% of the population, and they all win.
Not enough to do 100 and something voyages a year, like, I'll tell you that much.
Not sustainable. But again, give me a few areas. Give me a Rise of the Resistance type feel where I can get into this and then be part of a particular part of the story for a few hours, and then I leave, you know, and then make it charge for outsiders to be part of, to do this experience, but make it really nice hotel and say, if you are a guest at the hotel, you can just do this whenever. You know, knock out a floor and make it a laser tag arena where you fight stormtroopers or something. I don't know. I don't know. I think there's a lot of possibilities. That would be super cool. But yeah,
There's only one in Florida, right? There's none in California for Galactic Star Cruiser.
Correct. Yeah, not in California.
Yeah. So
make a World Between Worlds one where it's like there's a single elevator and it looks like the gateway. And you get in it, and the floor you go to opens up into an era of Star Wars.
Oh my god! Oh my god! I would.
That sounds awesome.
It opens
Bob,
up.
Bob, listen.
Yeah. Hire me.
Listen, Bob.
Yeah.
We say that weekly. All right, Chaco. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you coming to hang out with us again. You know, a few months, we'll ask you to come back because we like talking to you. You're fun. But if you enjoyed listening to Chaco, I just said that.
I'm saying I too like him.
I too.
I also three. Like Chaco. I just want to make sure that was known. I too like Chaco.
Chaco, if the listeners Chaco and the viewers want to find you, where can they go to find you and check out more of your takes, videos, and future Destiny lore, apparently, too.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I am Darth Chaco on YouTube, Darth Chaco on TikTok. I keep saying I'm gonna make a lot more YouTube videos, and I really am planning to. I just life has been getting in the way, but yeah, make a lot of TikToks, Darth Chaco 7 on Twitter, and yeah, come hang out. We'll talk canon, talk books, talk whatever, and we'll be talking Destiny because I got really into last season, and and I can't wait to start the Season of the Deep.
Rabbit hole.
It is. It's in, it's
That's one of the reasons I haven't been making YouTube videos.
I will send you one episode of our podcast where we had our friend Bife that I mentioned to you on, and we discussed the influence of Star Wars on the Destiny universe. This was like 2 years ago, though, but I'll send it to you. Yeah. It really was. I was actually asking Bife if he wanted to come back soon to chat, because if we record on Wednesday morning, it's perfect timing for him, Tim, because he's up. He's in England. So
across the pond.
Yeah. Oh, good English buddy, Bife. I almost said his real name. I'm not going to say that. But you can check out Tim. It's darkness429, fb.gg/darkness429. He was playing a little DayZ today. He was playing a little bit of the Star Citizen. Why are you making that face?
DayZ was rough.
Yeah. Is it already hitting that point?
All the good servers are dead.
Oh. It sucks.
Died.
All the Tarkov people moved on already?
Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that. It's well, okay. If you want to... Tim's Star Wars Power Fantasy, then you can go watch him play Star Citizen 2 if you'd like.
Just want a glass of planet. Just one planet. All I want to do.
You should be playing Eve then. And you'll only need to put like 2,000 hours in before you can glass a planet.
Sorry, my buddy's super into Eve, and he was telling me about this like 6-hour battle he was in, and that was like a relatively short one. I was like, no, absolutely not.
I think it was during lockdown or right after lockdown when the Eve developers were like, we're going to drop an alien invasion on you all and not tell you. And then all of a sudden, all of the Eve boards were like, what's happening to our universe? Like, things were getting attacked. I was like, that's actually awesome, but I don't have the time to invest in that scenario. If you want to yell at me, it's Kevin X Vision on Twitter, KMagic101 on Instagram, and everything I do is at raredrop.co. But if you want to check out Star Wars and Scotch, please, if this is the first episode you're listening to, maybe you came over because of Chaco, whatever it may be, rate, review, subscribe, check out more episodes. We have 131 episodes and counting for you to listen to. And like we said, maybe go back and listen to the Bife episode if you want to hear more about how Star Wars influenced Destiny. It's a very, very interesting conversation. But Star Wars and Scotch across the board, or Star Wars Scotch on all socials, rate, review, subscribe. Again, Chaco, thanks so much for hanging out with us. We appreciate you as always. But until the next time, next week, where we don't have a guest, so it's just going to be me and Tim chatting. Tim?
May the Force be with you.
Always.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.